Good morning, everybody. I'm just going to set a few.
It's 10 o'clock.
Settings, and then we'll get started. I am looking for Coach Betsy. There you are. Promoting Coach Betsy is going to help me to go through all of your questions this morning. Good morning, Betsy. Good morning, everybody. Okay, let me bring up my notes. I am Coach Heather. This is the Q&A call. Let me know in the chat where you're from. Can you all hear me okay? Let me go back and change my name while you guys all come in. Like I said, I'm No BS Coach Heather. I'm coming to you from Boca Raton, Florida. Okay, let's go to notes and kick this off. All right. Today, we are here to get your questions answered about No BS. For today's call, you'll be using the chat box and the Q&A box. So here's how it works. To submit your question, look down at the bottom of your screen. You'll see it says Q&A. So that's where you will be submitting your question. Coach Betsy is here giving me moral support and helping me with questions. This is the first time I'm running a Q&A call. So Betsy's going to be in the chat as well, helping answer your questions. When you submit in the Q&A, she's also going to be answering some of your specific questions, questions that are specific to your situation. She's going to retain some questions for me to go through that have application to everybody. So that's what we're here for. Thanks for the moral support, you guys. Just, you know, I really appreciate your patience as I kind of figure out the nuances of the call. Okay, so if you get an answer directly from Betsy, you'll see it in the chat box. So look down at the chat box. It should say, there's like a blue rectangle there. It says hosts and panelists. So this is how you send a message to me or Betsy. I want you to toggle it to everybody. I'm not sure if you can see that since you're not hosting it. But make sure it says everyone so that everyone can see your chat. If Betsy is answering you, you'll see that her message comes directly from Betsy in that blue box. So after she answers you, go ahead and change it back to everyone. Sometimes we forget to do that. And then it's just you chatting with Betsy. So just be aware of that. I also have some questions here. While you're putting your questions in the Q&A box that Yasmin in the community pulled from the Facebook group, and I'll kind of use those as some warm-up questions, I'm going to be answering the questions in a way where I want to frame the answer for you the way that a coach diagnoses how to answer a question so that you guys can learn. All right, I'm having this issue. I have a question. How should I think about and go about answering my own question so that you can start to develop a way to use your coaching tools and your mindset mastery tools to start helping yourself? Okay, a little bit about me. I'm Coach Heather, like I said. I work primarily in the one-to-one coaching program here at No BS. I have clients. One-to-one clients that I meet with every week, and we work on their weight loss goals and also other goals too. For me, coaching completely changed my life. I was able to lose 20 pounds and keep it off for 5 years. And also I use my coaching tools to help me manage my drinking. And then finally in 2020, I quit drinking altogether after years of kind of over-drinking and trying to manage that. Last year, I was able to reverse my pre-diabetes and my fatty liver disease, which I'm super proud of. Currently, I'm working on losing the last 20 pounds and reaching my goal weight I want to be in that maintenance program that Corinne is creating next year. I am a mom to a 20-year-old, and my 16-year-old is getting his license today. In June, I also got married to my high school crush. So that's a little bit more about me, in case you were wondering. Let's start with some announcements. Coach Betsy ran a relationships and other people's opinions call last night. So look for that to post in the next 24 hours or so. I know everybody is kind of thinking about holiday events. Many of you celebrate, you know, American Thanksgiving next week. And if you're concerned about any relationship stuff, definitely look for that replay. That's going to help you. Coming up on Saturday, we have what's called a doable event planning call. Yesenia is running that. That's Saturday, November 20th at 10 a.m. Central Time. Yesenia is going to teach you how to go through that worksheet and fill it out for your event, your special event. Many of you will do that for Thanksgiving, but you can also do it for a party, Christmas, like any other holidays that you have coming up between now and the end of the year. So that's a great way to kind of do the work to plan ahead of time and create a successful outcome for you. All right. Save the date. Corinne is planning a full day of a workshop for all No BS members free. It comes with your membership. It's called Building the You of 2022, The Goal Getter's Guide to Getting It Done. It's like going to be amazing. When you finish this class, you'll have a completed 90-day blueprint for the new year to identify your goals and know exactly what to do to reach them. Of course, if you can't make it, we'll have the replays available for the membership. But you'll want to attend live if you can, because we're going to have the ability for you to ask questions, go into breakout rooms, and there's going to be some sweet prizes that you can win too. So that's on the 2nd of January, 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. Central Time, and it's going to take place on Zoom. Okay, so we're kind of ready. Before I go through the first question, I want you guys, when you have questions that have to do with weight loss, think about No BS as if you've signed up to take a college level course. Okay. So we think about like, okay, if I signed up for a college level course, I'd need to attend class and I'd need to read the book, right? So this version of reading the book is going through the No BS weight loss course. I want you to think about if you've gone through all of those modules, and we've added some new ones too. So your first course of action, if you have a question, should always be to go back to the course. Look at the modules, look at the specific lessons, and just revisit some of those if you feel like that's where your area is that you need help with. And you want to make sure that you are every day practicing the four basics. So that's planning and assessing, getting your water in, getting your sleep in, and practicing doable hunger. And if you're losing weight, you're doing everything that you should be doing. And of course, you'll still have questions, right? But if you're not losing weight, you've got to go back to those two things. Go back through the course, get really clear on the teachings, and apply everything that's said in the videos. You know, you can go through it on your private member podcast too. All right. If you're not losing weight, you want to start to add some additional things to help you. So this would be your discovery worksheets if you're having overeats or off-plan eats. And you definitely want to be using your habit tracker, because those will help you spot patterns of behavior that deserve a closer look. So those are your clues. Those are your breadcrumbs, your trail of breadcrumbs that you're going to want to follow. And when you follow them with the tools that we give you, you'll be able to figure it out. But of course, we're here to help you too. You can also go to Ask Coaches on the website, ask your questions there. And also, just like this call, attend the live calls to get your questions answered. Okay, so let's start with, let me just check the questions here. Okay, bear with me. All right, let's see. If you're not hungry at supper but want to eat at 9 p.m., is that okay according to the basics? Yeah, I mean, you don't want to be eating supper if you're not hungry. That's part of doable hunger, is waiting for hunger. So you get to just say, well, I'm going to wait for hunger. And whenever that happens, I'll meet that moment knowing that I get to make the choice at that time. So I probably wouldn't say for sure I'll eat at 9 because maybe you won't get hungry, but that's okay. All right. All right. Let's see. Let's try one of my pre-populated questions here and then I'll come back. Okay. Here's one from Facebook. I'm having a hard time with a new thought. I'm doing the worksheet on handling the holidays, and my current thought is I always gain during the holidays. I can never lose. For the life of me, I cannot think of a new thought. So when you think, I can't think of a new thought, think about that. If the brain is a computer and you program it with your thinking, you can see that when you agree with the thought, I can't think of a new thought, you block your own wisdom from happening. So you never want to say that to yourself, even if it feels true. So the easiest thing to do is to slap onto the end of it, and that's just something I'm used to thinking. I know I can think of something else to think. So the brain always wants to go back into history. Well, remember last year you gained, and then the year before you gained. And it's very easy to believe that's true, but we never want to let an old shitty sit unanswered. So remember from Soundtracks, John Acuff's book, we use a litmus test to go through. Is the thought true? Is it helpful? And is it kind? It needs to pass all three of those. So is it true? You would have to really go back and look at your data. If you have your weight, online somewhere, where you have it tracked, go and see if that's actually true and how much weight did you gain. Get your data there. And then you can make a conclusion based on the data instead of just your recollection. Like for those of us who've had babies, we don't have great recollection. We don't remember the pain of having the baby, right? We're like, oh, we want another one, maybe. We forget. So that's why I love data. Always use your data. Then I can never lose. It's not true. It's not helpful. It's not kind. You don't know if you can never lose. Like, have you gone all in on seeing if you can lose? So this is why the handling the holidays is really helpful. Those worksheets, go through those and really question, like, do I want to lose over the holidays? Like, make the choice on purpose. Look at everything that you have going on. You'll pull out your actual holiday events, see how many meals that is, and then make a data-driven decision. Do I want to lose weight? And if I do, it's going to be my choice, or I can choose to maintain. Some of our members are like, I'm okay with gaining some weight over the holidays because I know exactly what to do to take it off. So, okay, that's the first question that I had. Let's see. Let's find another one. How do you deal with apathy in your weight loss efforts? I'm having a hard time caring about moving forward. Okay, so apathy, this is from Valerie. Apathy is a feeling. So we know, Valerie, if you're feeling apathy, I'm just writing it on my whiteboard. We know that apathy is being generated by the thoughts you're choosing to think about your weight loss. So it's probably something like, I'm so tired of this. Does this really matter? Am I okay with the weight that I'm at? There's probably, your habit brain is sending up a lot of probably questions. Is this worth it? Any question that you have, you need to answer. This is a great place for you to be journaling, Valerie. Take out the journal and answer the question. Like, does weight loss matter to me? Especially right now. it's, you know, the tail end of November, we're finishing the year. How do I want to think about my weight loss? You know, do I want to feel apathy? Is apathy ever going to help me reach my goals right now? And if not, then choose new thoughts. So that's what I'm going to challenge you to do, Valerie. I'm going to challenge you to come up with your whys for your weight loss, and then use those whys to come up with new thoughts. When you're like, oh, this doesn't matter. I don't really want to lose weight. This is exhausting. This is so tiring. All of those old shitties. I want you to come up with at least three new responses to apathetic thoughts about weight loss, knowing that apathy is never going to help you. So that's your work. Okay. I kind of skipped one. Let's see. Is Facebook the only option for community and no BS? Are there any chat forums or something similar that are directly on the website? No, Facebook is not the only option. We want you guys finding accountability groups. You can either have like a one-to-one accountability with somebody, another member, or you can be in a group. So go to the website. Maybe somebody can put in the chat the link to request an accountability group. Like, raising your hand and saying, I need accountability, can change the whole weight loss feeling for you. Like, it changed my life with no BS. I have the most amazing accountability group of other coaches. So give yourself that gift. If you guys aren't losing weight and you don't have an accountability group, that is your number one priority. I know many of you have many thoughts about it. And my private clients often talk to me about like, well, it didn't work out, or the first one I was in fizzled out, or, you know, something happened, or somebody ended up gaining weight and they don't want to do it anymore. It's very normal to have that happen. Your job is to show up and help match yourself with accountability. And you get to decide and ask for the kind of accountability that works best for you. All different people have different types of accountability that works best for them. Some people are more hands-off, like they just want the data, they just want to check in. Other people are more engaged, they want to be in Marco Polo and this and that. You get to decide how you want to show up, and you need to improve, like, expectations. Like, when you join an accountability group, tell them like, look, I can only check in once a day. And if there's lots of Marco Polos, I just can't get through them all, but I'll do my best. And, you know, if it's not working out, give yourself permission to like move on and ask for a new group. It's normal to have 2 to 10 attempts to find the right fit. Do that for yourself. It doesn't mean anything about you if your group didn't work out. Okay, that's just an old shitty. That's not a fact. Okay, next question. How do I stop eating sweets at night after dinner before going to bed? Okay, so the first thing is, eating sweets after dinner is a habit. You need to look at it like that. It's not who you are. It's just a habit. So when we have a habit, and this is explained in the No BS course, this is so important that you guys go back there and learn about the think, feel, do cycle and habits, okay? So the first time you had a sweet after dinner, right, you thought it would help you, and then you had like probably a pleasant feeling afterward because you made it mean something, that it was helpful to you. And that created the habit right then and there. Now, your habit brain is in charge of these habits, including your heart rate and your respiration. So your habit brain is an ancient part of your brain, right? It doesn't reason. It's not intelligent. It's just like, beat the heart, pump the lungs, send up urges for all the habits that are currently in place to keep going. Because your habit brain thinks it keeps you alive, like your heart beating and your lungs pumping. So when you have this established habits of eating sweets, just know that urge is going to come up, just like you set an alarm clock to go off. You're going to keep having that alarm clock go off. So how do you change that? Well, you stop eating in response to the urge. That's called extinguishing the habit. The more often you can not eat in response to that urge to have sweets after dinner, the faster you'll extinguish that urge. Now, urges sometimes never completely go away, and that's okay. Like sometimes, like I told you guys, I quit drinking. Sometimes I look over at a nice glass of wine that looks, and I'm like, oh, that used to taste really good, but I don't do that anymore. And you can do the same thing with your urge to eat sweets after dinner. So you're just like, no, I can plan my sweet and I can have it maybe with my dinner, or I can have it tomorrow. Here's how I did it. I extinguished my urge to have peanut butter after dinner over the summer. And here's how I did it. I said, I'm no longer somebody who eats after dinner, even though I was somebody who was eating after dinner. It seems kind of like schizophrenic, right? But you have to start programming in the new alarm clock. I'm someone who no longer has sweets after dinner. You plan your sweets and you plan them with doable hunger, but you no longer eat after dinner. You have to decide if that's what you want to do. If you know that it's getting in the way of your weight loss, I would encourage you to do that. And then say it to yourself every day. Program that new alarm clock every day. So you're going to be in a place where you're going to have an urge to eat after dinner. And then you're going to answer that urge with, I no longer eat after dinner. And then you're going to just sit with the urge and not answer it. Okay. You can go further with the urge and ask yourself, what am I really looking for? When I work with my one-on-one clients on this, I always say to them, they're like, well, like let's take cookies at night. And I say, all right, you want the cookies, but you also don't want to eat the cookies. So you have the urge and you have the new programming. And you guys can do this too. Pretend that I'm there in that moment where you want the cookies. And I say, hi. And I just like, I'm taking your cookies from you. What am I taking away? The answer to that question will be what you're making cookies mean. Are they comfort, relaxation? What is it? What are you believing the cookies are giving you? And then you're like, then you have some awareness and some clarity of what you're looking for. You're emotionally regulating with cookies. If you're not hungry and you want the cookies, you're emotionally regulating with cookies. Cookies just dumbly sit there. They cannot give you a feeling until you have a thought about them. I did the same thing with my drinking. I'm like, okay, how am I going to not drink wine? That was my urge of choice. It was Sauvignon Blanc, you know? And I'm like, well, the first thing I need to do is start calling it for what it is. It's a glass of neurotoxin. Like there's no judgment for other people who drink. But for me, I had to really see what it was for me. Like I didn't want to want it anymore. So I had to call it what it really was. I'm like, no, I no longer drink neurotoxin. I had another client this morning. She stopped eating candy. And I'm like, well, why don't you just call it the stealer of your dreams? She's like, that worked. I'm just calling it the stealer of my dreams. You see, we can program new programs to no longer believe that food gives us anything but relieving physical hunger. And then you work on this belief that you can meet all of your emotional needs without the need to eat over them, because it never really works anyway. Okay, I hope that helps. So you just start telling yourself you're no longer somebody. This is the new belief. I'm no longer somebody who eats sweets after dinner. You say it every day, and then you practice programming the new alarm clock. Okay. And then slowly it will start to go away. Like so I started this in July. I just kept telling myself that, and I kept having the peanut butter. by August, I think I had 3 or 4 peanut butter eats at night. By September and October, I had none. And now I have, even the Skippy peanut butter is back up in my cabinet. Because I'm no longer somebody who eats peanut butter after dinner. If I want to have it, I give it to myself with dinner when I know I'm following doable hunger. I know I'm hungry and I've planned it. So that's just who I want to be, you know? Okay, next one. Tips on getting motivated now that the weather is getting colder and it's getting darker earlier. I just want to sit on the couch with a blanket, watch Netflix, and get cozy. So you see, you're thinking that sitting on the couch with a blanket, watching Netflix equals cozy. You're programming that in. So you're thinking, it's dark, therefore I'm not motivated. So really look at that. Like, I can't be motivated if it's dark. First of all, is it true? Is it helpful? Is it kind? Okay. It's not dark all the time. It's darker a little bit earlier at night, but there are times, like you could say, there's times that I can find my motivation and maybe I can start to work out when it is light out. Okay, so what would you need to be thinking? Let's say you can't change your schedule at all. You can't work out. Like you said, motivated, but I don't know, motivated to do what? So to find motivation, so let's look at it on the board. So your fact is it's darker earlier. Here's your fact. Darker at this time of year. And you're looking for the feeling of motivation with the fact of it being darker. So you just have to ask yourself, what would I need to be thinking, even though it's darker this time of year, to feel motivated? So I have a good analogy for you. We all, we want to get to a place where this is just a habit, to do what you need to do, to feel the motivation. We do this all the time with brushing our teeth, don't we? Like, sometimes I get in bed at night and I'm like, oh, I forgot to brush my teeth. I need to find the motivation. Sometimes I am. Sometimes I do say that. I'm like, well, if I don't brush my teeth, maybe it won't matter tonight. I have this conversation because I'm so comfortable in my bed, right? Just like you get cozy on the couch. But I get out of bed because I'm like, no, I'm somebody who brushes her teeth at night. And this is that we do this with the gym too, but for some reason with weight loss, like it's so hard for us to meet that moment of not wanting to and doing it anyway. This is like the brushing teeth. I don't want to brush my teeth at night, but we do it anyway. We're like, no, I'm going to get up and brush my teeth because I have good oral hygiene. So you can say the same thing with your four basics. You're going to not want to do them. And then you're like, no, I do. I'm going to get up and get my water. I'm going to get up and go to bed because I practice the four basics. That's who I am. Even if you're not practicing them the way that you want to, this is how you talk to yourself. You program the new alarm clock. Like, you meet that moment of not wanting to, and then you say, no, this is what we're doing anyway. We do it at the gym. I suppose there are some people out there who like love to go to the gym, but I think for most of us, we have that same conversation. Like, I don't want to go to the gym. I don't want to work out. I don't want to run. I don't want to do it. I don't want to lift heavier weights. But for some reason with like our physical health, working out or whatever, we're like, no, we know we need to be uncomfortable and do it anyway. That's how we get stronger. So you can just apply the same thing. Use the brushing the teeth analogy or the going to the gym analogy to meet that moment when you're like, oh, I'm all so cozy, but I know I have things I need to do. You're like, yeah, I'm going to get up and brush my teeth. Yeah, I'm going to get up and I'm going to go take that walk or assess my day or whatever I need to do. All right, next one. Let's see. So I signed up for No BS a few months ago, bought the plant, bought the journal. Good. I did it only about a week and I did great. And then my husband and I started a separation. I stopped doing my journal or learning about the program and have gained several pounds since then. And then there's a crying face. What is the best way for me to get started again? Things are still very stressful. I never really learned the whole program. Can you give me my steps to get started? Yes, I can. So the first thing I want you to do is tell yourself the whole truth about the difference between when you started and now. I'm going to guess that even when you started the program, it being right before a separation, things were probably still stressful for you. So, and they're stressful now. So you were able to start back then. So you can start again. The only thing that's changed with you gaining a few pounds after your initial start is that your thoughts about the program changed. So you can just start thinking those same thoughts about the program, like maybe this will help me and I'm going to recommit and this can be easy even though things are stressful. This can help me have structure to my life at a time when things feel a little bit unstructured because of what you're going through. So specifically, I'm going to recommend that you and everybody else can do this too. If you feel like you want a little motivation, go back through that orientation on the site. Like go to start here on the menu. It says orientation. You will get so pumped up about this program and how life-changing it is. So go through orientation. It doesn't take that long. It will set your mind in a very positive way of thinking about the program. And then step two, anonymous, is to go through your course again. Just make it easy. Take it step by step. You know, plan in little sections of time. The course now has timestamps to let you know exactly how long the videos are. And you'll see they're very doable, that you can go through them. It will help you solidify the learning that you started to do when you started back then. And you just get to pick up where you left off, knowing that like this can really help you even with what you're going through. It's a way to control, you know, being and showing up who you want to be even during a time of lots of change. And in another way, for most of us, even if we're not going through the same thing, like the holidays are kind of like that. It's like just a bunch of changes, right? And No BS can be that calm in the storm, that like lighthouse beacon with all of these changes and the differences in meals and parties and holidays and celebrations and stuff. So go through orientation, go through the course, and just start applying each thing that you learn. We make it really simple and doable. Corinne is a master at that. And we're there for you. Use Ask Coaches. And I'm glad that you're here getting your question answered. I want you to celebrate you showing up here and supporting yourself. You can do that. Okay. What is the best way to put aside diet thoughts coming when I'm not losing? Well, diet thoughts are never going to help you to lose, right? Think about the kid on the tricycle or the bicycle with that, you know, we take off the training wheels. Kids are a great example of having beginner mind. Like the kid who's got his training wheels taken off his or her bike is like, I'm going to figure this out. I might fall, but I'm going to get this, you know? At least part of them is like that if they get on the bike, right? And you can be that way too. Like the kid on the bike is like, this is a little scary. I might mess this up. I could fall, but I'm okay with that. And you can be the same way with your weight loss. Like we always have times when we're not sure what's happening, when we're not losing. So we have on the site, we have an SOS page. So this is good for you. If you're into troubleshooting, the first thing is to know nothing's gone wrong if you're not losing. You just haven't figured out what to experiment with and try this week to get the scale to move. So this is why the first thing I say is get your data together. Make sure that you're doing your plan and your assessment. Okay. Look at your data. How many times did you overeat this week? Did you get your water in? Did you get your sleep in? And then if you overate, do those discovery worksheets, even if it's been a few days, just go back in your mind. What was happening that day? Like play it like a scene in a movie. Okay, I remember I came home. I was stressed out. Something happened at work. I didn't plan very well for dinner and I had a fuck it moment and I had pizza and then I overate the pizza. The discovery worksheet will take you through all of that stuff. And then you can figure out what's going on in the greater context of your day that you're not following the four basics. And then you can work specifically with what's happening. So as a coach, I just want to encourage you guys, when you're not losing, it's never a global problem. Like you find solutions with each situation that happens, each overeat. You've got to go in there, revisit it, ask yourself, what was I thinking? What was I making it mean? What was I trying to get from overeating? What was I believing about that? And that's how you create the strategy from the challenge that happened. So we need the overeats, right? We need to look in there. Don't be afraid to do those discovery worksheets. I mean, I often say the road to goal weight is like a board game. And each space that you move ahead is paved in discovery worksheets. They literally are, it's like, if weight loss is a board game, it doesn't come with rules, right? Because it's your weight loss. It's an individualized game. You figure out what the rules are, like how to find success through each discovery worksheet you do. You figure out, oh, I need to work in a break in the middle of my day so I don't overwork and then set myself up for urges later. Yes. So good, Betsy. Betsy wrote, I would never have lost my weight if it hadn't have been for my overeats. Your overeats are gifts. Have the courage to look at them closely. You will, with the tools that we teach you, the mindset tools, the Think Feel Do, and your journaling, you'll be able to tease out that diet thinking, the diet thoughts, from the truth, which is that when we emotionally overeat, we think it's how we're helping ourselves, but we're just confused. We're not recognizing that that's not true. The only thing that overeating helps us with is like the thought error that it does help us. Overeating is overfeeding yourself. Think about it like this. What if overeating is like medicine? Right? Like when we eat food, of course we need to eat food. But think about it like, say you're a diabetic and you take insulin. Oh, thinking overeating is helping you is the same like a diabetic thinking that taking twice their insulin is going to help them with their diabetes even more. No, it's a thought error. Overeating never helps you. It's actually bad medicine. So this process of losing weight, if you're emotionally overeating, is really like coming out of like the cult of diet mentality, where you have believed for so many years that overeating is helping you. It's just not true. And they often ask, you know, these cult members when they make the news, they get interviewed with the media, and the media often says, why didn't you just leave the cult? There was no lock on the door. And this is kind of like us in this diet thinking, like I have to restrict. I can't eat what I want. Corinne says I can, but I just don't believe it for myself. That's why I've never put the fucking hamburger and french fries on my plan. Like, if this is you, I'm talking to you. You're in the cult of diet mentality. You've got to start believing that it's just not true, that you can be safe if you just walk away from that thought. How do you practice it out of your head? You put the burger and the fries on your plan. Yeah, I'm gonna be straight with you. The first time I did that, I overate my french fries. I love sweet potato french fries, waffle fries. Like, I overate those fries when I put them on my plan the first three times. But you know what the truth is? The truth is I was overeating them anyway because I was never planning them. So I had to have the guts to step out of the cult and be like, no, I'm gonna plan these. Wednesday night is burger night with waffle cut sweet potato fries. And I'm going to figure out how to have them. So by the third time, I said to myself, okay, Heather, what does it really look like? Like, don't dump half of the sweet potato fries in the air fryer. You're just setting yourself up to overeat. Like, I need to take better care of myself. And then I was like, well, but I don't want to put too few on there. So I feel like I can't have what I want. So in the end, like, I wound up being like 8 to 15 waffle cut sweet potato fries. And that was enough for my visual satisfaction, you know? And I, most of the time, I don't plan a bun because it's not that important to me. And that's how I found the winning combination. Wednesday night, burger night, cheeseburger. I have it on a bed of lettuce and I have those crispy sweet potato fries. And I put 8 to 15 on there and I just work on trusting myself that I can find emotional satisfaction with that plate. And then I check in with my physical stomach and I find physical satisfaction and enough somewhere before those 15 fries. So that's how you do it. Okay. You can plan the bun if you want, of course. All right. Let's see. Where am I? I lost my place. Okay. I often try to hide from myself when I grab ass or overeat, and it's not till the next day when I admit to myself what I did. Then I tell myself there's no point in doing a discovery worksheet because I don't remember my exact thoughts of why I overate. What can I do to overcome this? Okay, so when you grab ass or overeat, these are two different ways, two different things. So let's just take grab assing as the example. Okay, you hide from yourself. So that's just a thought. And it's kind of like a self-shaming thought. So you just chose to not do a discovery worksheet right then and there. That's the truth. You're not high. Like, you just chose not to do it. Tell the story that's going to make you feel better about it. Like, you can choose to say, I hide from myself, but it's going to make you feel like shit. So just say, okay, I'm not ready to do the discovery worksheet because I'm disappointed with myself and I'm working on that. Okay, so you do the discovery worksheet anyway. Again, it goes back to that idea of like going to the gym or brushing your teeth after you're already in bed. Like, yeah, you're not going to want to do it, but that's only because you're believing having the grab ass means something about your ability to lose weight. And you're just wrong about that. It's just something that you're used to believing. Again, it points to what I just said before. You need your overeats. You need to analyze them and sort through them, pull it apart, pull the thoughts apart. Why were you grab-assing? For most of my clients, it's because they're not actually planning the foods that they want to eat. So it creates a feeling of restriction, like I can't have what I really want to have. And so the thought is, grab this while you can. So I'm always suspicious that you're virtuously planning if you're grab-assing. Okay. I hope that helps. Here's the next question. I've been using nausea as the sign that I'm hungry. For the last couple of months, I've been extremely nauseous every morning, even though I usually don't eat breakfast. For the past 3 days, I've been having severe stomach pains as soon as I start to feel hungry, and a dull pain through most of the day. How do I find the signals that I'm sure I'm not recognizing as hunger signals before the nausea starts? Okay, so we have some physical symptoms going on here, and we also have thoughts about our physical symptoms, right? This is like when I coach people who have chronic pain. You want to create a relationship with the pain, the challenge. So for you, it's the nausea. Now, of course, I want to encourage you to go see your doctor, because it doesn't sound like you should be in a lot of pain as like a normal state of being. But you take that up with your doctor, figure out what that's about, and then you get to manage your mind around it. Okay. So that being said, you know that you're also going to have hunger, physical hunger for food. So if you're not sure how to think about it, you need to start journaling. This is what my nausea feels like and my stomach pain feels like. This is what I know my physical hunger feels like. And just make it very clear so that in the moment when you're in pain and you're kind of in fight or flight because you're in pain, you're not going to be able to think clearly. You'll have already written out how to recognize physical hunger. And I would just say, like, if you think you're probably hungry, try eating. See what goes away when you eat. Be curious. Be the scientist. Notice how if you eat, if your nausea goes away, then those two are probably correlated, right? So just be the scientist is what I'm going to really encourage you to do. Okay. Next question. Is self-love the real key to this program? I'm feeling like I need to do that course before I focus on thoughts or urges 2.0. Yes, self-love is, of course, key to the program. If we have diet thinking, diet mentality, you know, we find ourselves in the cult of diet mentality. I've got to restrict. I can't eat what I want. Like, that works for other people, but not me, that kind of thing. It is an indicator as a coach. When I see that playing out, here's what I kind of know maybe happened to you at some point, usually when you're young and impressionable. I grew up in the 70s and 80s. And at that time, there was a lot of judgment of having weight to lose, being overweight. And the messages we received was, you can't be trusted around food. It's a moral failing if you're overweight. And if you can't be trusted around food and you're a glutton around food, then you need a harsh dictatorial voice to keep you in line with food. It was a judgment about your worth and your value as a human being. And unfortunately, for my generation and probably lots of others too, like, we internalize this, that there's something wrong with us if we have weight to lose. We don't understand in that impressionable age that it's just, we formed habits around food and we just don't know how to unlearn those habits and learn different habits. So again, we think there's something wrong with us. We push away our own love, care, and concern for ourselves for this harsh voice. Don't bring that food in. You have to restrict. You have to count calories. You have to be mean to yourself to whip yourself into all of this restriction that you have to do. And that we're the only species in the world that can create a stress response. A physical, like, fight or flight response because of how we talk to ourselves in our heads. So this is where self-love comes in, because if we come in with diet mentality and a harsh inner critic, we're stressing ourselves out all the time. That increases cortisol. It increases hunger. It keeps us in a wired and tired state. You know, we're cut off from our own positive self-regard, our inner self, and what she needs to feel safe, secure, happy, and loved. So yes, self-love is key. We have to undo that conditioning. I would say, to answer your question, you can always be working on self-love as you're working the four basics and the thought work that we teach you in No BS. I mean, you know, it's just a decision. If your thoughts and your urges are really hosing you right now with overeating, I would say just go through Thoughts 2.0, Urges 2.0, or Basics 2.0 to really help you with the overeating or the grab-assing or the eating off plan. Okay, then you have those tools. And then the self-love part is really like an ongoing practice that you practice daily. You can't go wrong, to answer your question. You can do either one. You just use your intuition and make a decision. Okay, you can't go wrong. Yeah, we're in the chat talking about all these crazy diets and what was wrong with us, right? That's so true. So you guys, give yourselves a lot of compassion when that inner voice, that dictatorial inner voice comes in. Like, just notice that it's a relic from your past conditioning. And just again, like the teeth brushing or going to the gym, you just say, no, we don't talk to ourselves like that anymore. I am whole. I am loved. I am worthy of this journey of losing my weight. And I'm going to just keep telling myself that until I believe it. And that it really is just that simple. Like, I had a client this summer. I had her work on the self-love course. And she came in and she was all kind of like upset. And I'm like, what's wrong? And she said to me, well, I think the self-love thing actually works, because I woke up this morning thinking that I actually do love myself. And you guys, it really is just that simple. Do the self-love work. Tell yourself that every day. Okay. If you are relentless in your own self-love, it will start to program. You will start to reconnect with inner you. You will start to take really good care of yourself. And when that happens, the choice to overeat looks like not self-care. It no longer appeals to you as the best way to take care of you, because you do love yourself, right? You're meeting your own emotional needs. Okay, that was a good question. Let's see. I am gluten and dairy intolerant. I get bad side effects from eating it, but I still keep on eating it. Help. Okay. First of all, it's very common. Here's what I want you to remember. The only reason why you're eating it is because right before you choose to eat it, you think it's the best way for you to take care of yourself, but you're just mistaken. You're not telling yourself the full story about what that food does to you. So let's take like a piece of toast. I grew up on toast, but I also have, like, I know that when I eat wheat and sugar, that my blood sugar surges. And so it's no longer just that old story of toast. Like, yeah, I mean, I'd love to have toast every morning, but I know if I have toast every morning, my blood sugar goes sky high. And that's just not good for me. Like, maybe for you and your intolerance, you can start telling yourself the truth of like, yeah, I can choose to eat whatever I want. But I know when I eat these things, this is how I feel in my body. And it's just not worth it to me. Maybe some days it is worth it to you, but make it deliberate. Don't give food any more power than you want it to have. And come to every food decision saying, I choose, or I'm willing to. And then you won't feel restricted. Okay. We've got time for a few more questions. Let's see. Oh, these are from, okay. Thanks, Betsy. Betsy's clearing the questions for me. Thank you, Betsy. Betsy, I really appreciate you being here with me. I just want to tell you that. All right. Cheryl asks, I'm recently back from a 3-week vacation. I planned and assessed every day while away. And now that I'm home, I'm having difficulty getting back into the swing of things. I'm actually eating worse since getting home. I've listened to several replays, but my mindset feels stuck. Why? Well, first of all, your mindset is not stuck. Your habit brain is sending you thoughts about eating a certain way that you are believing. You're choosing to believe. So we want to start cross-examining old shitties like we're in a courtroom. You know, that like all the courtroom shows. So old shitties are like hostile witnesses. And you're the attorney. Your job is to like really question them. Right? Your power of your prefrontal cortex, the planning and logical part of your brain, is the attorney for you and your weight loss. And it's going to argue against any thought that you should overeat. Okay? So you're going to really like question the thought to overeat. Like, why am I thinking this is a good idea? I felt so good during my vacation when I planned and assessed. What's happening now? So this is like a case where I want you to journal. I want you to gently question. I don't want you to go to anger. I want you to get really curious, because this part of you coming back from vacation is probably a new area that you don't have a lot of experience with. So you're like, oh, my old habits are probably kicking in. So this is my opportunity now to create a new idea of how to switch from vacation mode back into regular mode. And in order to do that, I probably need a few things. Like Corinne often talks about like getting grocery delivery when she comes back and having like a lot of easy, appealing meals that are easy to just like assemble, that don't need like cooking, you know, or a lot of time. So those transitions are always great places for you to start like a protocol. Do your discovery worksheets. Okay. Get really curious and just know that it doesn't matter what you did at your last decision. What if we made weight loss and the decision that you have in each moment be free of any judgments of what you did before and or what you might do later? Like, we just meet each moment and make a clean decision. We get like amnesia. Like, who cares if you ate yesterday? It's gone. It's never going to help you to feel bad about it. Like, you did your discovery worksheet, you learned from it, and you move on. Okay, you get to do that in each moment. This is why when we say, oh, I'll just start tomorrow, you farm away all of your agency for weight loss when you do that. That's about perfectionistic thinking, fantasy thinking. Weight loss never happens tomorrow. Tomorrow never comes. We're only ever in the present moment. The present moment is where you have all of your powers. So for each of you, like, know what your next best decision is from this moment for today, for your weight loss. Like, is it going to be sticking to your plan? Is it writing that plan that you didn't write yet? Like, go do it right now. Make the plan. Okay. So we're coming up on the end. Let's see. I'll try to answer at least one more question. Between dinner and bedtime, I am continuously hungry and keep eating. Some good for me and some not. I think it's stress hormones driving the hunger. Suggestions? I would recommend that you look at that new doable hunger worksheet so that you can get really clear on what your physical hunger symptoms are. Okay. And then there's emotional hunger too. Those are different. So physical hunger is always about, I call it the bouncer of the stomach. You check in with your physical stomach. There's a bouncer there. He works for you. His job is to make sure that you only eat when you're hungry and that you never let in more food than is enough. So you just ask your bouncer, am I hungry or am I feeling hungry? Those are two different things. Like emotional feeling is different than physical hunger. So that's where your work is to figure out, are you thinking thoughts that are creating emotional hunger for you? That's different from checking in with the bouncer of your stomach. So I'm going to leave you with this. We always eat in response to a thought, but we never eat only because of a thought. You always have a thought to eat. You recognize, oh, I'm thinking about eating. And then you check in with the bouncer of your stomach. Can we eat? And if he's like, nope, not hungry, he will never lie to you, by the way. Your mind, your thoughts to eat, they'll lie to you all day long. Those are the old shitties. So do both. Recognize your thought to eat, then check in with your bouncer. You'll have your answer. If you're not hungry, you just say to your thoughts, we're not physically hungry. What else are we looking for? Or maybe we just have a habit of eating when we're not hungry. Okay, we're just not going to eat. We're going to extinguish that habit and program the new one. Okay, you guys, it's been my pleasure. Thank you for having me to the Q&A. If your question didn't get answered, go over to Ask Coaches and ask your questions. Betsy, again, thank you so much. Thank you, everybody, for showing up like the bosses that you are. And I'll talk to you soon. Bye.